And good morning, Nashville. It's finally here. The playoffs in the mid-state area. Finally here. We've been talking about it since last week. And it was a rivalry week that was interesting to say the least. It certainly lived up to the billing. And man, we got an absolutely loaded show for you. Parker Kelly here hosting the show, joined by the one and only Connor Newt on the ones and twos. Connor, how are we doing?
How about it, man? It's been a long time coming, you and me getting on the airwaves together.
Hey, I was just telling you, Jake Wallman, he may have made a mistake calling out today.
Yes,
he may have. Because now the most electrifying duo, dare I say at the station, is now hosting a show together.
Hey, it's about time. So I hope Chase McCabe, I hope you got your airwaves going.
Hey, I bet he's listening.
I bet he is.
How could he not be?
I mean, he knows.
Yeah, but Jake has a good excuse. You know, him and his wife are moving, so a pretty decent excuse, but
not good enough.
Not good enough because, dang it, me and you running game blitz today. How about it?
How about it?
Man, it was a great rivalry week, as I said. Tons of close finishes, and as I talked about last week, the margins just get a little tighter as the season goes along, and really, no team is at 100% by this point in the season. I mean, we're getting down into the nitty gritty, and it is certainly excited. Let's go and get into games of the week, shall we? And Connor,
we?
Since you're kind of new to the show, I'll go and let you start us off.
Okay. Probably the biggest game of the week for me, at least, Oakland and Riverdale for number one in the region. Oakland ultimately edges out the win. Oakland is the number one seed in the region.
Shocker to many.
To many. But there is a path to see this game in a playoff format, or a playoff environment, I should say. So, I mean, I say it because I'm out at MTSU. It's kind of local to me now. But that was a big game on Thursday night.
It was. And, man, they had a great game versus Ravenwood last week. I wouldn't be surprised to see, really, you think about it, Oakland, Ravenwood, and Riverdale. I would not be surprised to see any of them match up against each other late in the playoffs, if not maybe in the state championship.
It's a loaded region.
It is. I mean, goodness gracious. That game, Jake and I talked about it a lot last week, but that loss to Ravenwood, I mean, coming down to the final seconds in overtime and Ravenwood getting the two-point conversion, whew, exciting stuff.
Ravenwood may have the nicest field in the state too, if you ever been there,
and the nicest jerseys. I like their uniforms,
black and red.
I was watching them last night. I'm like, man, those are some nice uniforms.
I believe they're Jordan too. They may be Adidas.
Yeah, I think they're Adidas.
They are Adidas.
Oakland might be Jordan. That's probably what
that's
you're thinking
better.
Of.
Yeah,
but I was in quite a pickle on Thursday night because I live 4 minutes away from Green Hill High School, and they had a matchup versus Mount Juliet. That's going to be my game of the week, spoiler alert. But then also you had Oakland and Riverdale on the same night on Halloween, and I'm like, I want to be at both, but I can't. So I had to choose, and shame on me, I guess. I chose convenience. But, I mean, it was still a great game between Green Hill and Mount Juliet. Green Hill got the win 12-10, very low scoring. Not
the Mayor's Cup, though.
The Mayor's Cup. It was, man, it was very low scoring. I expected a little bit higher scoring game, but it was close, as many of us predicted it would be. But to me, Mount Juliet had every chance in the world, it seemed like, to come away with this win. But they were absolutely killed by penalties. I couldn't tell you how many false starts, how many holdings. Everything in the book was on the table for Mount Juliet, but they would move the chains, and then here comes the penalty flag, and they'd get set back, and then they'd end up having to punt the ball away. Or I know Travers threw an interception later on in the game. They went for a fake punt on fourth down, didn't end up converting on that. It seems like the opportunities were there, but then on the flip side, you got to give it to Green Hill and the defense. They played lights out all day long, and what really was clicking for Green Hill was the run game. I think by halftime they were averaging about 6 yards a carry.
Sounds like a game won in the trenches.
Yes.
Especially given the weather, because it was cold, rainy.
Rain was coming down. It really started coming down around 5 o'clock, and I pulled out the radar and was looking at it. It was supposed to die off by about 7, but, I mean, rain was consistent all night.
That's football weather.
But Mount Juliet, we talked to Trey Perry last week, and, you know, he talked about how Mount Juliet was, as the season kind of got later on, that they were a team that – you know, lean more towards throwing the ball. They still threw the ball, and they threw it decently well, you know, a little hindered because of the weather, but Green Hill was just running the ball down their throats and ended up coming away with a win 12-10. Like I said, Green Hill is now 10-0, and that side of the bracket, granted Green Hill keeps winning, it's going to run through Wilson County.
How about that?
And now Mount Juliet drops to 9-1. We previewed that game, I mean, it seems like since week one. I mean, both teams on a collision course to be undefeated. Hollow weekend, lived up to the hype.
Had
even
to
though
end
it was low scoring.
Though. Yeah, had to end somewhere. That's a good way to end the season, though. Playing a rival, both undefeated. The Mayor's Cup.
The Mayor's Cup. And it's a fair – I feel like Wilson County, because it seemed like for so long that Mount Juliet has just kind of been the powerhouse in Wilson County. And then when Green Hill came along, they, you know, struggled a little bit in their first season, but since then have just really taken off. And they actually lead the Mayor's Cup series 3-1. I didn't realize that until they announced it after the game. But Green Hill's kind of taken that rivalry by the throat. So
how about that? That's wild.
Yeah. Let's go and get into some other scores, shall we? Like I said, it was Hollow Weekend, a phenomenal rivalry weekend. And let's go ahead and start on Thursday. Like I said, Mount Juliet travels to Green Hill, and they fall to the Hawks 12-10. Green Hill now 10-0 in the regular season. Mount Juliet falls to 9-1. Donaldson Christian Academy travels to Nashville Christian. Both of these teams 8-1 coming into this game. Nashville Christian pitches a shutout against a pretty explosive Donaldson Christian offense, and the Eagles get the win 36-0. We're actually going to talk to Jeff Brothers, head coach of the Eagles, coming up in the next segment. The Eagles move on to 9-1, get a first round bye in that Division II single A playoff bracket, and Donaldson Christian falls to 8-2. Still pretty good teams on both sides, but Nashville Christian getting the better. East Robertson out in Sumner County. Man, they've just been clicking all season. They get a big win over Jackson County, 37-0. East Robertson now 9-1 on the season. Oakland, they get themselves up off the deck like Connor was talking about and get a win against Riverdale, 36-21. Wilson Central, it has been a struggle for the Wildcats this year, to say the very least, and they are scoreless as they traveled to Cookeville on Thursday, or they traveled, I should say, to Cookeville on Thursday. Cookeville gets a big win, 51-0. Cookeville and Upperman are two teams out in the Cookeville area that I'm really looking at to make some noise in the playoffs potentially. Marshall County gets a big win over Pearl Cone, a tight win, 24-21. CPA, man, just a wrecking ball. They're just a wrecking ball, and you know this because you've been covering FRA.
Yeah, last week at FRA, I mean, they have some pieces. They have this one receiver. I'm blanking on his name, so I apologize. But, oh, man, they're explosive.
And we talked to Engel Martin a couple weeks ago as well. And I don't see anybody standing in their way to potentially securing a second straight state title. They get a win over Davidson Academy, 41-10. And how about Antioch? Can we just get a little golf clap going for Antioch?
Yay.
They get a win over Laverne, 54-6, and they finish with a winning record in the regular season, 6-4, and they will try to make some noise in the playoffs. We'll see what happens, but, man, love Antioch, and I love their head coach, Arsente Broom. Let's go ahead and move on to some scores from Friday as Providence Christian travels to the Webb School down in Bell Buckle. They fall 50-34. Beach gets a win against Springfield, 21-16. Middle Tennessee Christian pitches a shutout against Ezel Harding, 20-0. it's a shame that Jake Wallman isn't here for this because he was hyping this up last week. But Eagleville gets a win 35-6 at Cornersville. The Eagleville Eagles now 7-3 on the season.
How about that? Shout out Jake Bolden. Hey.
Man, it's a shame. It's a shame he's not here for that. He would be having himself quite a morning. Ensworth, we were talking about this before the show got underway. They win at Christian Brothers 42-7 and now 10-0 heading into the playoffs.
How about that? Tim Hasselbeck.
Tim Hasselbeck. He comes on the station quite a bit. Friend of the show. East Nashville Magnet gets a win at Stratford 38-0. Really like that East Nashville team. Father Ryan gets a win against Warren County 45-14. Heading on later into Friday. This is a tough one for Good Pasture. 0-10. They lose at home against Battleground Academy 49-7. Battleground Academy is not a bad team.
They have a good offense.
Really high scoring powerhouse on offense. Page, they get a win at Nolensville 42-0. Didn't expect to see this score. I was kind of shocked by it. Nolensville is not a bad team, but Page, one of the more talented teams in all of the state. Really, really good win for Page. Columbia Academy travels to Grace Christian, gets a win 40-7. Talking to head coach Will Hester at Ravenwood coming up in the 7:30 segment. They get a win against Brentwood 21-3 in the MyTV 30 game of the week. Couple more scores for you. Clarksville Academy pitches a shutout versus Mount Juliet Christian 40-0. Brentwood Academy gets a win against Montgomery Bell Academy 35-7. Coach Wade and George McIntyre 7-3 on the season. Quite the turnaround from being 2-10 a year ago.
For sure. And they have their answer at quarterback at least for a few more games.
They do. They do. Yeah, before he heads off to good old God's own Knoxville, Tennessee.
God's own.
Powell gets a win against West in a battle of ranked teams 30-18. West comes out victorious on that one. Franklin Road Academy, you were at this game, Connor. They get a win against your alma mater, Pope John Paul II, 52-6.
I was so conflicted. It's the Newt Bowl, as I call it.
The Newt Bowl.
FRA is my current place of work in the high school football world, but my alma mater, Pope John Paul II High School. So I didn't know what to do.
It was quite the predicament for you. A couple more scores. Lipscomb Academy travels to Macaulay, and they fall 42-28. Just been a tough go-around for Lipscomb Academy. They're really talented, just have scheduled really tough, like we've talked about. Friendship Christian, they earn themselves a bye in the first round of the playoff as they beat Kings Academy 47-14. And that'll wrap up our scores from Thursday and Friday. Trey Perry talked about last week that due to the referee shortage in the state, they kind of had to move some games to Thursday, kind of split them up half and half. But nonetheless, a great week, great weekend of high school football.
College football's today,
buddy. College football's today. And we're also, Jake and I have coined this show the official show that kicks off the football weekend.
There you go.
So,
hey,
nothing better than the Game Blitz getting you going on a Saturday morning. But coming up next, we're going to talk to Jeff Brothers at Nashville Christian, the head coach. They got a big win over Donaldson Christian Academy last night. Plenty to talk about with him. That's coming up on the Game Blitz, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Make sure to tune in to Vanderbilt football coming up right after Forest Company as they travel to the Plains to take on the Auburn Tigers. Andrew Allegretta and the crew will have you covered with the pregame show at 10 a.m. Central Time with kickoff scheduled for 11:45. And someone else I know that's traveling to the Great Plains right now, probably as we speak, is head coach Jeff Brothers at Nashville Christian. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
I'm good, guys, and I appreciate the Cult of Personality intro music there. That's a nice touch. I like that.
Hey, we got to give a shout out to our producer, Connor Newt. He's got us covered on the ones and twos, doing a great job back there.
Only the best for you, Coach. Only the best.
I appreciate it.
Hey, but Coach, we appreciate the time. I know you're traveling to Auburn, Alabama right now to see the Vanderbilt Commodores and the Auburn Tigers square off.
Yeah.
But Coach, I really want to kind of go back, rewind the clock a little bit, go back to last year and talk about this team as they finished with a 6-7 record, lost in the state semis to Friendship Christian. And now fast forward to this year, your team's 9-1, has a first-round bye in the playoff. And just kind of talk about that transition to, you know, last year kind of having to go through a little bit of struggle and now this year having so much success.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's a great story of just the resilience of our guys and the perseverance and the hard work they put in. You know, last year we were really a sophomore-driven team, you know, even with Jared at quarterback, you know, with the talent and the skill set that he has. He was just a sophomore, and the skilled guys around him, we were all sophomores and freshmen last year at the skill positions. And, you know, those guys just had to get that experience and take some lumps and you know, still fought through to a semifinal opportunity, but just weren't able to capitalize on that. But went into the offseason, you know, kind of dedicated to growing up and working hard and understanding where the mistakes have been made. And, you know, I think the fruits of those labors are showing this year with a 9-1 record. We lost, you know, the second game of the year to a really good BGA team by a touchdown. And that's the only blemish at this point. So we're in a good spot.
And, Coach, it's really hard for me to kind of put a finger on which side of the ball is playing better right now. Your offense is averaging about 46 points per game, and then meanwhile your defense is playing lights out as well, averaging a little seven and a half points allowed on the defensive side of the ball. Just how would you describe how your offense and defense have kind of played that complementary football?
Well, it's been fun, and it's been a blessing to us that we've got the opportunity now to not quite have – a two-platoon system. We've got a couple of guys that play both ways, but for the most part, those guys either start on offense or start on defense. And so we've been able to practice really well against each other. I've said it to a lot of people. I think sometimes the hardest game we play is on Tuesday afternoon when we're practicing against each other. It's a really confident group. Our defense plays fast and plays fearless, and that's been a good compliment to the offensive guys that can get out there and score in a lot of different ways too. And it's just it's a fun group to coach. It's a fun team to watch. Yeah, you're right. It's been, you know, sometimes, you know, the offense carries and sometimes the defense carries, but this year for us, it's been really a good blend of both.
Coach Jeff Brothers of Nashville Christian is with us. Coach, big win for you guys Thursday at DCA, shutting out DCA 36-0, obviously winning the region, but now you guys got a bye. How can you guys ride that momentum into the playoffs here?
Well, that's a great question, and it depends on your perspective. So if you have the bye, you talk about how it helps, and if you don't have the bye, you talk about how you're glad you don't have one. So, you know, we're going to make the most of the opportunity this week to get good and healthy. We're going to just get based on, you know, practices based on fundamentals, just have some good competitive work. Like I just talked about a minute ago, we can go a little bit of best on best and get a good competitive day out of that. You know, and just kind of stay sharp and, you know, really focus on just being – good technical, fundamentally sound football players, and going to the second round game will be our first game, and just try to be as healthy and as primed up as we can be.
And Coach, you talked about your quarterback, Jared Curtis. He's currently the number one quarterback in the state, the number nine player overall in the country, according to 24/7. What has he meant to not just your offense, but to your team from a leadership perspective?
Yeah, that's another great question, and that's something he's really worked on this off season coming into this year. You know, as a freshman, he got to play, and his talent was obvious. As a sophomore, we had to go through some, you know, ups and downs, and so he had to really work on his leadership and his ability to, you know, persevere and lead through different situations, difficulties, and success. And then this off season, he's really worked more than anything from the shoulders up and just understanding the football game, understanding people and how to lead them, kind of how to deal with different situations, positive and negative. And so that's given him the ability to really be that calm force in the huddle and on the practice field. You know, I told him, and you guys have heard it too, you know, all boats rise with the tide. Well, he is the water. And so we're going to be where he is. And he's done a really good job of embracing that role and provided not just from a skill set standpoint, but just from a leadership standpoint has really been, you know, the guys you know, he's been the guy that, that our team can just look to and rally around. And if he's going well and staying calm, then we go well and stay calm.
And I wanted to ask a little bit about his recruitment. I know he decommitted from Georgia on October 17th. Many will say that he's trending towards Oregon right now. Nothing is official, but where does he kind of stand on his recruitment?
Well, right now where he stands is he's focused on getting Nashville Christian to a state championship game and hoping us. Now, that's been great for us is that he, while all this is going on and the world makes a lot of noise about all that, he really does want to come to work and help his team be the best it can be. And the guys around him, you know, just enjoy being out at practice, and it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. And we've got a goal in mind right now that's short term for him that he's really staying focused on. Now, that being said, yes, recruiting is a real thing, and the way that social media and all that attention is kind of instant these days, he's done a really good job of balancing all those things. And I think that's true as well with his own personal recruiting process. He's got a good balance of what he wants to do, how he wants to go about it. He's done a good job of surrounding himself with people that give him good advice. And he just wants to go and take the opportunity to see as much as he can see. Now, you know, a lot of people speculate on a lot of different things. He's actually going to be down here at the game today, Auburn and Vanderbilt. And he just wants to, you know, take the opportunity to explore while he can. And he didn't want to be committed and kind of felt bad. His conscience was getting to him a little bit because he was committed to Georgia and wanted to be, you know, honorable in that sense, but he wanted to go visit other places and he didn't want to kind of be, you know, moonlighting, if you want to say that, on Georgia. And so I think he's just kind of taking a step back in the process and trying to slow it all down, really.
Well, I'd say he definitely has the right mindset, that's for sure.
Well, I think that's, again, just a credit to the people that he's surrounded himself with. And he's such a great kid. It, you know, the noise is all coming from the outside. And he is not into the, you know, the glitz and glamour of it all. He really just loves to go play football and be around his friends. And he's a relationship-driven guy. He loves his coaches and his teammates. And, you know, it's really to have as much as he has going for him and to stay as humble and as, you know, down-to-earth as he is, I think is pretty remarkable for a 17-year-old boy.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck to you guys heading towards the playoffs, and thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for what y'all do for high school football.
Of course, that was head coach Jeff Brothers of Nashville Christian. They got a big win versus DCA last night, 36-0, and earned that first round bye in the playoffs. But coming up next, another head coach got a big-time win last night, Will Hester at Ravenwood. We'll talk about their big win in the Battle of the Woods last night coming up next. You're listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, Connor, I got to give you credit, man. You're killing it with the songs this morning.
Hey, we got to acknowledge our next guest.
Hey, I told you at the start we had a jam-packed show, and another great guest on the line, Coach Will Hester with the Ravenwood Raptors. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, a little sleepy, but other than that, pretty good. Can't complain.
Hey, I know it was probably a late night for you last night, but we really appreciate you taking the time this morning to come on with us. But let's go ahead and just get right into it and talk about the last 2 weeks for this football team. 2 weeks ago, you got a big overtime win at Oakland, and then last night you win the Battle of the Woods, a big rivalry game against the Brentwood Bruins, 21-3. What have the last 2 weeks been like for this football team?
Well, to be honest with you, it seems like it's flown by. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been 2 weeks, but been pretty phenomenal, right? We've had a good season up to that point. Anytime you can go on the road to start the season and beat an Alcoa team, everybody knows who Alcoa is, one of the most storied programs in the state of Tennessee. And then have a pretty good middle part of the year, but we are always looking to the end of the season. And you got two, you know, giant games there at the end with Oakland in the ninth game for us, week 10 of the TWSAA season. And then and then now, you know, the state has done us a favor, I guess, and put all these rivalry games in region the last week of the season. So then we got our crosstown rivals, Brentwood, the last game of the year. And, you know, those guys beat us twice last year, once in the regular season and once in the quarterfinals. And so obviously there was a little bit of extra motivation there, but proud of our kids and the resiliency they've showed. You know, got down early in both of those games. 14-0 to Oakland, and were able to come back and win in overtime, and then just got down 3-0 last night and scored 21 answered in the first half to go into the half 21-3, which ended up being the final score. So just proud of our kids, proud of the fact that they have second undefeated season in school history, first one since 2014, which, you know, y'all probably remember some of those kids, Van Jefferson and Chris Rowland and those guys on that team. And then now region champs and get to host at least, you know, the first couple of rounds. If we make it three rounds, we get to host all three rounds. So the opportunity to play a lot of playoff football in our stadium.
If I'm not mistaken, Van Jefferson was there last night, wasn't he?
He was. It was the bye week for the Sooners. They played on Monday night, and they were off. And he and his family came in town. His wife's family still lives here in Nashville. They were visiting them for the Halloween holiday. And he was came and hung out with our team on basically all day Friday. So it was cool to have him around, you know, one of our favorites. So,
but you took the words right out of my mouth in your first response. This team lost to Brentwood twice last year, once in the regular season, once in the quarterfinals. And then to kind of bounce back and get a big win really shut them out on defense. So how would you describe your team's ability to kind of get yourself up off the deck and come back and beat a Brentwood team pretty handily 21-3?
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest with you, you know, all those kids are back for us, right? So we returned all but three starters off the entire team from last year. And so our guys, we played a bunch of sophomores and juniors last year, and proud of the 9-4 record that we put out there. But clearly we learned some lessons and learned some things about, you know, how to handle adversity and how to battle through tough times. And then, you know, our kind of our rallying cry for the off season there was all about, you know, getting connected as a team, number one, which was easy to do because we have 28 seniors that all care about each other greatly. And number two, it was about finding a way to deal with adversity, right, when it comes, and be able to bounce back from those things. I think, you know, this game that we play, this team game of football where 11 guys have to depend on each other to be successful, the teams that are the most connected and understand how to handle bad things and bounce back and not turn negative toward each other and toward the situation are the ones that are most successful usually. And we found a way to bottle that up and do that this year so far, and hopefully we can continue it here in the second season called the playoffs.
Coach Will Hester is with us from the Ravenwood Raptors. Coach, obviously a great season for you, as we mentioned, going undefeated. But you're in a stacked division, a stacked region, I should say. Next week you got Cane Ridge at home. Obviously momentum is on your side, but what does this team have that other teams in your region don't have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, you know, I don't know necessarily. Like I said, I think it goes down to the piece that, you know, our kids care about each other. They're just driven not to let their, you know, their buddy, their classmate, their teammate, that guy beside them down. And, you know, they're focused on playing as long as they can. These seniors, right, now have the opportunity to, you know, play an extra half a year of football if they can will it to happen, right? You know, they got 48 minutes each week, maybe more, right, if overtime happens, but 48 minutes each week to earn one more week of football together. And, you know, I don't know if that's what every coach talks about with their teams when it comes to the playoff, but I promise you that's the message this week, because I know I have 28 guys who are not ready to put those helmet and shoulder pads up the last time. They would rather do anything they can possibly do to get just one more week, or really just five more minutes with each other and playing this game. And you know, we start out with Cane Ridge. That's an opponent we played earlier this year as well. We know a lot about them. You know, that's another story program who's played for and been right there in state championship games here in the recent past. And, you know, so a great challenge for us there. And then, you know, quite frankly, you know, there's an opportunity that we play some of our region opponents that we've already played again before hopefully finding a way to a little vacation in Memphis on Thanksgiving week.
Coach, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of that last question. Some of the smaller schools in the Division 2A and lower have the opportunity to have bye weeks if they kind of clinch their region. With the upper-tier divisions, it's not that way. Your team's going to go right into playing next week. Do you kind of prefer to keep the momentum on your side and have that game next week, or do you kind of like the idea of having that bye week to get healthy?
I think it depends on the situation, the maturity of your team. You know, we had fall break a couple of weeks ago, right? That was our bye week. And then we came out of our bye week and probably played the toughest three-game stretch of our season. You know, we played Franklin at home, and we went to Oakland, and then we played Brentwood at home. And, you know, I thought our kids handled that very well. We used it appropriately. We got some practice time in. We got some rest in. You know, I think it's important that the maturity of your team is in a position where you can bounce right back and stay focused off of that downtime. You know, and if you need it to heal up, I think that's very beneficial. But I also think if you've got a younger team, a team that has momentum, a team that's playing well, I mean, I would say we have a little momentum beating Oakland and Brentwood back-to-back. You know, sometimes rolling right into it and trying to knock the next one off is the best way to go.
I wanted to ask about, I know you guys run a dual quarterback system over there with Femi Babalola and Maverick Chance. I'm sure you've heard some other folks talk about how that kind of running a two quarterback system doesn't necessarily work, but it seemed to work for you guys so far. What's your mindset behind playing both of these guys?
We think we have two Division I collegiate quarterbacks on our team. And to be quite frankly, if you had two Division I level linebackers, you'd play them. If you had two Division I receivers, you'd play them. If you had two Division I nose guards, you'd rotate them. And that's what we're doing. You know, last night for us, Maverick was 9 of 12 for 114 yards with a long of 55, two touchdowns, had a quarterback rating of 209.8, and then ran the ball 13 times for 54 yards. Our other quarterback, which is, you know, got offers from Boston College and Coastal Carolina and places like that, Femi Babalola, was 7 of 10 for 101 yards, a long of 42, a touchdown, and a QB rating of 187.84. We have two great quarterbacks. It is not fair to them that because they put a jersey on in the same locker room as each other, that one of them has to sit. And to be quite honest with you, in this day and age of NIL and colleges and quarterbacks going to college, you give me a situation that's a utopia for a quarterback. I think we're doing, number one, right by these kids by playing them both because they deserve to play. But I also think we're doing right by them about, hey, listen, when you get to that college, when you get to that university, when you get to that program, it's not going to be all clowns and pony rides. You're going to have to deal with, you know, them maybe bringing in an NIL quarterback over you and all the things. And how are you going to handle that? And are you going to be ready when that time comes, which could be at a moment's notice? So I think we're doing the right thing by the kids. Also think we're right doing the right thing for the kids. So, you know, that's the way we look at it. And, you know, it's been good for us so far. But think back, you know, in today's day and age of running quarterbacks and, you know, that plus one guy everybody talks about, how often does the same quarterback take the first snap of the year through the last snap of the year and stay healthy? It very rarely, right? So now we're making sure both of our guys are sharp, both of our guys are on it. They're already great players, but if something were to happen to one of them, the other one is there, and, you know, vice versa. So that's the way we look at it. You know, I think we've kind of broken the mold on the two quarterback system, the old adage that if you have two, you don't have one. We definitely believe we have two.
Coach, to kind of piggyback off of that one, do you feel that that system enhances your offense like no other team in the region?
I think it does. You know, in today's day and age, right, we have video on the sidelines. I am blessed with, you know, one of the best high school quarterback coaches in the country, Mark Pinella, who coached for, you know, 30 years at De La Salle in Concord, California, was a part of the staff that won whatever, you know, 400 games, it feels like, you know, all those undefeated seasons. You know, he has the ability to sit down with it, whichever quarterback is not in that series, look at the video, talk through the progressions, look at what we're seeing, and then that kid immediately gets to go back out the next series and implement that information. Now, we can still do that if it's a one quarterback system in between offensive and defensive series, but he can stand behind the other guy in live action, talk through what they're both seeing, and I think it helps from a learning, growing perspective to be able to have, number one, a man with that wealth of experience in their ear, but number two, standing right beside you, talking through those reads that you then, you know, shortly thereafter get to go back and institute yourself.
We're talking to Coach Will Hester at Ravenwood High School. Coach, this is your second stint at Ravenwood. you had a stint at Nolensville High School and then also one in Alabama coaching at Florence High School, but you returned back to Ravenwood in 2020. And now looking at just how this season has unfolded, 10-0, offense is playing well, your defense is playing lights out. How would you describe your team's kind of resilience since you've taken back over? And what is your mindset, what is the team's mindset heading into the postseason?
You know, I mean, I would think, you know, any team who's going into this second season, they have one goal, right? That's to find a way. Number one, I think it's the coolest week of the year to find a way to practice on Thanksgiving. I think that's an unbelievable experience for a young person playing in this game. So, obviously, that's something in the forefront of goal, finding a way to do that. You know, I get back to finding a way to make this whole situation last 5 more minutes with each other. I think that's going to be a huge rallying cry for our kids. And then in the end, you know, they want to be another Ravenwood team to have a chance to host a gold ball, right? We've got a couple of those. We've got a couple of silvers in our trophy case right now. I think our kids would love the opportunity to hold one of those things up and experience that. But I think it all boils down to, you talked about the resiliency and how they're handling stuff. It all goes back to those young kids putting their time in last year, taking their lumps, and now, you know, being able to put that stuff into practice and put what we, you know, talk about during our character school in the offseason in practice and how they speak to each other and the language of football and the language of how you talk to someone when things aren't going well to get it turned around. You know, you don't start yelling and screaming and cursing at each other and turning on each other. To be quite honest with you, we love to hear that language out of our opponent because that means they're right where we want them to be, right? A team who stays positive, a team who encourages each other, a team who finds a way to build each other up through adversity, that's one you got to be scared of. And right now, that's the blessing of our program, and that's the team we got.
Coach, we really appreciate the time. It was a great interview and really appreciate you taking some time out of your Saturday morning to join us. And best of luck to your Ravenwood team as the postseason approaches.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having us on. Anytime we can talk about our young men, we jump at the chance. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, absolutely. Coach.
That was Coach Will Hester at Ravenwood High School. Phenomenal interview. And we'll go ahead and recap both of those interviews coming up in the next segment, as well as previewing a little bit of the playoff bracket coming up next on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I may start singing to this one.
Hey, this is an 80s classic.
It is.
We weren't around here, but that's okay.
You're listening to The Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up tonight, the Nashville Predators have another home contest as they host the Colorado Avalanche, the Preds seeking to win. To get win number 4, on the young season, Max Herz will have you covered with the pregame show starting at 6 p.m. and Pete Weber will have the call at puck drop at 7 o'clock.
Audible on that one. It's actually Chase McCabe today.
Chase McCabe, my bad. Chase McCabe will have you covered with the pregame show at 6 o'clock. But, man, Connor, we landed some great interviews today with Coach. Well, let's go ahead and start with Coach Brothers at Nashville Christian. I was asking him about Jared Curtis because, I mean, you probably see this as well on social media. I mean, it's all any recruiting service can talk about is, you know, what's going to happen with Jared Curtis. And I asked him about it, and the words directly from his mouth was, he's focused on getting Nashville Christian a state championship. They're actually my pick to win that Division II single A. But, man, I love that response because you think about it as a young kid, it's probably so easy to get consumed with all these different schools that are coming at you. And if your main focus is on winning that state championship, I mean, it's really impressive.
He had a quote that really, really stuck with me. I'm trying to remember how he phrased it.
The tide that rises all boats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, Curtis is the water. So that, to me, that says that Curtis is calm, collected, and that wins you football games. So I Coach Brothers kind of blew me away with some of his answers. Jared Curtis's story is really, really cool to me. The fact that Coach Brothers mentioned this as well, he was committed to Georgia, decommits, and you heard Coach Brothers say, you know, he felt really bad about it. It's kind of a test of his loyalty, and he feels like he let a program down. That says a lot to me about not just a quarterback, but a human being.
Yeah, and in this age of social media, Coach Brothers talked about, and it really gets on my nerves too, there are all kinds of narratives coming out about him decommitting in from Georgia and why he may have decommitted, but Coach Brothers kind of, you know, set the record straight and told us what it is, and I'm more impressed by Jared Curtis than anything after that interview. It just really bugs me how people kind of run with these narratives, but he's the tide that rises all boats. He's the water. This offense is averaging, like I said, 46 points per game. The defense has allowed 0 points 5 times this season, so 5 shutouts for Nashville Christian, and they've allowed 7 or less points 7 times this season. The defense is really playing well, and it's no kidding when he was talking about Jared Curtis, and it kind of he's the thermostat, not the thermometer. Both sides of the ball are playing really well. This Nashville Christian team is 9-1, and if you think about the turnaround from last season, they were 6-7. They lost in the state semis to Friendship, and now they're the front runner to win the state. I mean, this story overall, this team, has just been really impressive.
Coach kind of mentioned that too, the development of this team. I think he said last year all skill position players were sophomores. Now they're juniors. That's a big jump from a second-year player to a third-year player. So you're kind of seeing the progression of this team, how far they can go. And like you said, they're your pick to win the state title. So I could totally see them going down the stretch the way they are playing. 0 points in 5 games is no joke for a defense. So just electric stuff from the Eagles.
Yep, and another team that is playing really good defense, we just talked to their coach Will Hester at Ravenwood. Their defense has allowed 0 points 4 times and has allowed nine or fewer points 8 times. They gave up 3 points last night to Brentwood. And the offense is playing just as well, averaging about 35.5 points per game on offense. And we were talking about that two quarterback system, and I was really impressed by his answer because, as has been on the record, I have been against the idea of running a two quarterback system. But you think about how Ravenwood has kind of incorporated this. They're 10-0. They're coming off 2 back-to-back wins. They beat Oakland, who has just been a powerhouse in 6A. Also beating Brentwood, who's had their fair share of winning at the 6A level as well. And you're running a two-quarterback system with Femi Babalola and Maverick Chance, and yet it is working. And I watched the game last night. They literally rotated every series. And his answer just blew me away. He said, if you have 2 Division I guys, regardless of the position, if they're playing the same position, you're going to play them. And I was really blown away by his answer, and it's kind of made me rethink my whole philosophy on this, just seeing how Ravenwood's done it this year.
Yeah, he was very firm on that too. That was the first thing out of his mouth when you asked that question. We believe we have 2 Division I collegiate quarterbacks. That's awesome. Now, we were kind of talking about this off the air. They're kind of 2 different quarterbacks. I believe you said Maverick is more of the scrambler, the runner
yep.
of sorts.
Yep. Will Hester compared Maverick Chance to former Navy and good pasture legend Keenan Reynolds.
Okay.
So yeah. very good runner with the football. And Femi is a great passer.
Yeah. Cannon for an arm.
Yep.
So whatever works, works. I'm actually... If we're doing games to watch next week, I believe that would be my game because I want to see how this quarterback system looks in a playoff setting. I want to see how far down the stretch they can get with 2 quarterbacks in the same offense.
Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about the difference between the private school regions and the kind of like 2A, single A, since there's not as many teams that get into the playoffs, they're afforded the first round bye if you happen to win the region. But then we're getting into, you know, some of these like 3A and up, they don't have that same luxury. So kind of some of the, we probably won't see as good of games in the first round in those brackets, but still, like, as we get deeper into the brackets, I mean, we talked about Riverdale and Ravenwood and Oakland, those teams out of Murfreesboro and Brentwood. Would not be surprised to see them have a late matchup in November, potentially in the state championship.
They're on a collision course to a title. All 3 of those schools in the same region. I mean, that's cause for chaos in Middle Tennessee.
Just kind of looking at some of those first round matchups in 6A, with Dixon County at Houston, Bartlett at Kirkwood, Rossville at Collierville, Germantown at Clarksville, Cane Ridge at Ravenwood, Franklin at Antioch, Smyrna and Brentwood, Independence at Stewart's Creek, just to name a few. But I'm really looking at that Franklin and Antioch game, because if you think about this Antioch story, they haven't had a winning season in a while, and they get to host a first-round game. I'd be really happy for Coach Arsente Broom if they were able to get that win. And just kind of looking at some other scores in or other matchups in 6A, Blackman will travel to Green Hill, Cookeville at Riverdale, William Blount at Maryville, Cleveland at Science Hill, Jefferson County at Bearden, Farragut at Dobbins Bennett, Lebanon at Oakland, Coffee County at Mount Juliet. That 6A division is going to be really fun to watch late November.
Yeah, we're here. Playoff football is here.
We're here for it.
We love it.
We're here for it. This is one of the best times of year, November, this whole month. It's
yeah.
just great because college football, you got teams making that final push for the playoffs. High school, we actually have the playoffs. It's starting to get a little crisper outside, feeling like fall.
It's hoodie weather today.
Hoodie weather.
I'm here for hoodie weather.
Some might say pumpkin spice season.
Oh, come on.
but we have some great games, and I wish we could kind of take you through all these different playoff games, because there are a lot of good matchups, and we will definitely have it all covered here on the Game Blitz, but due to time constraints, we got to get out of here for the Hall of Fame coming up at 8 o'clock. But Connor, are we allowed to name drop on this show?
Sure. Go for it.
I'd like to know where David James is at right now.
I know.
Calling us the dorkiest duo in sports radio. Where is he at right now?
We got ourselves a nodder.
We got ourselves a hater. I'd like to know where he's at.
Yes.
Maybe we'll confront him at the end of the show. But appreciate every one of you who listened to Game Blitz this morning. Make sure to tune in. If you missed the show today, it's on podcast, wherever you get your fine listening materials. But for me and Connor Newt, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.